Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com. A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome back to the Overlap Live Fan Debate, brought to you by Sky Bet. Is really tight at the bottom. So let's talk about Everton. I mean, you couldn't ask for a better start. You know, beating top of the league. Sean Dyche, new manager bounce.
To be honest, Baz know better than anyone that the fact that it feels like Everton have had that performance every season when sort of a new manager comes in. It's all about always he's going to do something different. And when I say different, when you think of it, we all think of an Everton performance at Goodison Park. It was that. It was, you know, maybe the opposition have the ball. They don't look like they can score a goal. There's a lot of challenges going in. You're lifting the crowd. You're going direct. You score from a set piece. You hang on. And that feels like an Everton performance that you probably see 3 or 4 times a season. And the thing that people afterwards questioned, why didn't they do that for Lampard? But they did do that for Lampard last season in terms of, like, the Chelsea game towards the end of the season, maybe even the Crystal Palace game, where it was that sort of backs against the wall. And what Frank did, we were looking at it for Monday Night Football, but it was, Frank didn't want to play the way Sean Dyche does, you know, week in, week out. But Frank did that towards the end of last season because he knew he had to change to keep Everton up. So we did a lot of, you know, the analysis of it in terms of, you know, being more direct from the goalkeeper, using Goodison, a fortress, making it difficult for the opposition rather than try and outplay the opposition. And I just feel this season he went back to see being how he wants to be as a manager, as you would expect. But Sean Dyche won't change and he will play what you'd call Everton type of football. And you want to see young English managers do well. Obviously, you've had Frank and Stevie this season lose the jobs, but I do feel Sean Dyche is a Everton manager right now. But he has got those traits that I think, you know, the Everton support can sort of feel like it's just all about commitment, running. The running stats are off the scale. That's the only way I think you're going to stay in the league, isn't it?
Baz, are you happy with Sean Dyche? Are you excited about this opportunity that Everton have got?
Excited. Probably not the right word. No, it's not, but he's a good manager, obviously. He's got experience, I think, Saturday. And you're being a little bit harsh on Saturday because Arsenal didn't have they had one shot, really, that looked like it might creep in. Everton could have been 3-0 up at half-time. But the other stuff, you're absolutely right. The crowd were engaged. We'd had 9 attempts at goal in the first half. I think if you glued Frank's games together for about 6 weeks, we might have got to 9. So, you know, it is a case of we don't like 8 million passes between the centre-backs as a fan base. I don't speak for everyone, but I don't like it. It bores me. It absolutely bores me. We want to be involved in the game, and that's what he was able to get us involved in. It felt very much like a David Moyes-type Everton performance at the weekend. No surprise we beat Arsenal. We beat you at home every year anyway.
So thanks for that.
That's bad. But it's right, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I know. Play was in the away.
Exactly. Play free, lost three, or something. But obviously, they're such a good side. The best team in the land at the moment. We had to make sure everybody was compact. He played 4-5-1. The core come in from, you know, having a bit of a dust up with Frank the other week. He got back in the side and was excellent. And I think it's give everyone that little bit of hope that maybe, you know, one win in 14 games is what Frank's record was, mirrored by Benitez last year. You lose your job with them stats. And
just point at me.
Just a quick one, Gary. Will Frank be sat at home watching that performance and think, why you do this for me? Like, he must have been stood there in the dressing room giving a speech, saying, I know you got it in you. And every week they go out and they don't want to say let him down, but they wouldn't play to the obviously the levels that they can. So he must have been sat there watching that thinking, you're doing me like this.
we talk about that. We talk about Steve when I Emery went in at Villa because they've obviously got a bounce as well. You do feel sorry for him, particularly lads that we've played with, and you think, oh, I wish they'd done well. I wish they'd kept the jobs. obviously, to be fair, grown the potential of English coaches and managers in the league. So you do feel a little bit like that. But the problem is with these experienced coaches like Deitch and sort of Unai Emery, they've been around the block and they know what to do. And Frank and Stevie are going to have to get that experience through losing a couple of jobs, then getting back in and taking another job. And they're going to have to do that. They're going to have to really learn the hard way. And that's, to be fair, what these managers have been through. You know, Unai Emery has got a massive amount of experience, as has Deitch. He's worked on small budgets at Everton, at Burnley, and obviously achieved what he achieved. So I think that I hope they're looking at it and thinking, not that, what you think. I hope they're thinking it and thinking, right, this is how I'm going to improve next time and get the best out of my players. Because the only way they're going to improve is get back in somewhere quickly. And they might have to go back in lower than they've ever expected and ever thought they would have to go in back in. And that's something they're going to have to get their heads around, I think.
So no Leeds job?
I don't think Leeds would. I mean, the three names I saw today, to be fair, linked with Leeds, they weren't. Not one of them was Lampard or Gerrard. That wouldn't be right for them at this moment in time. I don't think it wouldn't be right for Leeds either. Leeds need some experience.
Connor, where's Connor? Who do you want as your gaffer? Because there's obviously thoughts of Bielsa coming back. You know, he was linked with the Everton job. He had that interesting idea of taking the 21s and. But it feels like there is a connection there. Is it all love lost and you want to go in a completely fresh direction?
I think Marsh as a succession plan was the problem. I think we spoke about that last time. Going from that style of football that we had under Bielsa then to a completely different style of football was the wrong move. You know, we had those players that were in, you know, almost indoctrinated into the Bielsa way. We moved to a completely different, narrow, compact system, style of play. And it was too much and it's not worked. He's had a year in charge, 2 wins in 18. I mean, we spoke about it last time. I wasn't convinced. I don't think any Leeds fan has ever been convinced. The away crowd has turned on him 2 or 3 times and it needed to be done before the World Cup break. It wasn't. I think the recruitment director, Victor Orta, brought him in and he wanted to stay by him. But the 49ers, who were going to take over Leeds in the summer, turned round and said, no, this is enough now. This is enough. So, yeah, I think that transition needed to be a little bit more seamless. It wasn't. But I think we need to go back to a little bit of almost the Bielsa-isms, and I think those are the coaches linked at the minute. Areola at Rayo Vallecano is doing a wonderful job, 5th in La Liga, and I think there's a lot of reports surrounding him at the minute. Carlos Corbran doing a brilliant job at West Brom, but I think the step-up's going to be a little bit too much. But yeah, it's a confusing one at the minute, because what do you do? Leeds need to stay in the division, but we need a long-term project.
Do you think you should
go
back to that Bielsa style? I'm obviously thinking about the lad at West Brom. You've just mentioned Carlos there, so... Yeah. Do you think would you almost rather have Bielsa than have his assistant?
It's a tough one, isn't it? Yeah, because I think Bielsa should have been sacked. I think it was that point. It was free-flowing football, but we had no control. Like we've spoken about it numerous times, but you can play that style of football with a little bit more control,
I
think.
You can't go back to Bielsa.
You can't,
No, what they're talking about is Bielsa's assistant now took a job and he's gone to West Brom and he's the one who's heavily linked, isn't he?
Right. Honestly, I thought Leeds were carnage at the end under Bielsa. I thought, honestly, it was shocking.
Awful. It really was. But
would that put you off as assistant, or does he play a different way at West Brom?
He's a little bit more reserved, a little bit more controlled, because you can play attacking, free-flowing football and be a little bit more controlled as well. It doesn't have to be flying fullbacks, everybody flying football.
It was the man-to-man marking nature.
Man-to-man marking.
That was the thing that looked awful.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I remember playing Man United twice, and you're going man-for-man against some of the best players in the world with the calibre of squad that Leeds have. It's never going to work. But, you know, managers do play different systems that sort of... You know, similar to Marcelo Bielsa, but don't go for that man-for-man system. And I think that's key. So, yeah, I would like to transition into that. And I want to enjoy watching football again. I'm sick of it. It's tripe at the minute, or it has been tripe. It's terrible. And we need a bit of good times. But playing this slot twice in a week isn't going to help. But
we spoke so much about recruitment. Right? Why do you think clubs do this where they know that they may get rid of a manager and yet they allow them to be so busy in the transfer window and then... The new manager obviously has had nothing to do with all of the inbound players, and it's immediately a culture shock and it's a bad fit.
Well, you think how Weston McKennie must be feeling now? Well, he's coming on the back of the coach, obviously being American, he's American international. It felt like a really good signing, didn't it? Coming in from Juventus, good pedigree, and then he didn't even play a game, didn't he? He didn't start.
He came on against Forest.
He was a sub. Yeah. And you can imagine how he's feeling now. But I was looking at the bottom seven now. I think there's only West Ham who haven't changed the manager out of the bottom 7 or 8 clubs. Obviously, David Moyes done a great job the last few years, so you'd expect that, but it just shows the stakes, how high they are in terms of staying in the Premier League. It probably looks like Southampton are going to change again, you'd imagine, in the next couple of weeks.
Well, we were speaking about Bournemouth there and the amount we've spent as well. It's very un-Leeds to spend that sort of money in January. So they are panicking. Bournemouth spending a ridiculous amount as well, like you've just both said. The stakes are so high, but why go out and back him to the extent that we have? in the January window, bringing Weston McKennie with 3 days to go, then you're sacking him. Like, where's the plan there? So that's the worrying part, I think, from an ownership standpoint.
Who'd have thought Everton would be setting the, you know, nice and calm. Don't spend any money in January. Let's see what happens. You know what I mean?
Would you like to see Potchin?
Yeah, that'd be nice.
I feel like he'd be a good fit. A lot of young players.
Yeah, you be able to decide.
Pochettino's not going to leave.
No.
He's not. He wouldn't have come to Everton. They just laugh. He's not. Think of how high his stock is. And that's nothing against Leeds, by the way. It's the position they're in. Same with us. Half some of our fans before Dyche were Pochettino or Tuchel. You're like, what have you been smoking?
I guess with Leeds, it's always, you're always going to get the Bielsa link, aren't you? Pochettino, he's worked under him, that's a natural. Yeah. But I think that's a bit lazy to me. I cannot see Pochettino. I mean, Tuchel is being...
Not with FFP as well.
Tuchel at Leeds might be a step too far.
A step too far, I think, but yeah.
I want to give you the top, the bottom eight clubs. 12th, Palace, 24 points. Forest on 24 as well. Leicester on 21. Wolves on 20. West Ham on 19. Leeds on 18, and the bottom three, Everton 18, Bournemouth 17, and Southampton 15. Out of those, who are really in trouble? Would you believe that all of those kind of bottom six, bottom seven are kind of banging trouble? Or are some maybe in a better place to kind of creep out? Do you feel like some have the legs?
Yeah, I mean, I never say a team's going down. It's my sort of one of my golden rules. But I went to watch Southampton Saturday against Brentford, was at the game. They're going to have a lot to do. Like, I thought they were in big trouble. Brentford are very good. We know what they do, but I thought they were never in the game. I couldn't see what they were. You know, you see some teams at the bottom and you think, right, that's what they are. I couldn't see what they were. I must admit, when I saw Forest, it's the first time I've seen Forest live in the game, the Carabao Cup game. We've got Forest fans, haven't we? Yeah. In the Carabao Cup game a week last Wednesday. I actually thought that was the worst back five in that night. The worst back five I'd seen all season live in terms of the performance that night. Now, I know you've had injuries and you've got people to come back and you're obviously better in other games, but I was worried about them that night. But I think that, you know, you've got enough points just to sort of mean that you're sort of not worrying too much at this moment in time. But at the moment, Bournemouth and Southampton are the two that look like they're massively in trouble.
Yeah, I mean, it was nice to hear Jamie say about the managers not moving on. You didn't include us into it because Steve Cooper's obviously going nowhere at the minute. The back five, obviously, we've moved it up again and recruited again, which we needed to do. So
six more signings makes it 30 for the season.
Yeah, but
30 new players. That's what
you need. The thing about that is
and a reputation.
They must have Man City's lawyers.
We needed to do that. We got promoted off the back of five loan players. You know, players retired. We've got players like Cook who haven't made the 25-man squad now. It had to be done. And it's like, I loved it when we got promoted because all these Premier League clubs were saying, oh, it's great to have Forest back. It's fantastic. Then we started spending money and we beat West Ham at home and that changed dramatically.
I thought that's how you beat us.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. And talking about like relegation, we're only 5 points off Liverpool now. So I'm looking down and
relegation team.
It's just, I feel like we're here now. I hope we're here to stay. Steve Cooper has done wonders. And when we lost 4-0 to Leicester in October, I really thought that was it. And you look what our owners have done in Olympiacos and they change managers all the time. But obviously they saw something and we've seen it since he took over that very first game. And it's just such a nice feeling being a Forest fan at the minute. Yeah. You know, Leeds fans saying it's not very nice and we're not that far away from you, but we've got the confidence and we truly believe as a club, as the fan base, everyone that we're here and it's going to get even more exciting.
I think with Forest, you talk about that Leicester game, I know Steve Cooper well. He used to be at Liverpool's academy, he used to coach my son at a young age. I've seen him sort of progress through the international scene as well. And I think you kept him in a job, didn't you? I think the owner, it looked like he wanted to sack him on the back of that Leicester game. I think it was the feeling of the Forest fans, they've been out the Premier League so long, what he'd done in terms of turning that season around in the Championship where you were near the bottom, got you up. So I think it was actually fan power that's kept him in a job, and now you're seeing sort of the fruits of that. But in terms of going, I think Forest will be okay. You've got that buffer now. I think six or seven points in the bottom three,
and the fans did a display for that as well. Yeah. Like we actively made sure the owners knew how we felt. And Benitez was the name that we thought we were getting, and he's not the kind of manager that's going to be suited for us. And so yeah, it was such a relief. And it's not just Cooper, it's the backroom staff as well. It seems finally, 23 years I've been waiting to get in here. Finally, we feel like we're here and we're not spending the money that the cities are spending. We're doing it a little bit more clever, but we had to get that amount of players.
He's just mentioned that we felt. I think Southampton and Bournemouth are going to go down. I think if Everton hadn't a change manager, I think they'd have been in big trouble. But I think it'll be down to Everton and Leeds. I think it'll be a toss-up between the two.
Tom, do you think the new manager bounce has kind of derailed it? The trains of, I guess the wheels have come off the tracks right now.
Yeah, just a bit. I think when I was on there before, I kind of said that I'd be surprised if Gary O'Neill got the job, because I think, I can't speak on behalf of all Bournemouth fans, but we knew it was a bounce and we knew we needed some experience. We haven't got that many experienced players on the pitch in terms of Premier League experience. And in the dugout, we've got a real lack of that. So I was absolutely shocked that he got the job because he beat Everton, which at the time everyone was doing.
still happy.
Yeah. And then obviously, Colin Leeds fan saying how tripe you've been, by the way. The last 10 games, they've got 5 more points than us. Since he's got the job, we've scored 1 goal. We haven't won a game. And yeah, it's pretty bad at the moment. We've splashed some cash, as we've all been alluding to the window, and we've... That's what's really confusing as a Bournemouth fan at the moment. We've got new owners who have spent over 50 million quid in January, which is mad for the size of Bournemouth. But we've given the Ferrari to a bloke that hasn't got a driving licence. It doesn't make any sense to me. Nothing against Gary O'Neill, seems like a good bloke, seems like a decent coach, but he's never been a manager before, ever. And we're giving him 50 million and just saying, keep us in the Premier League. I can't get my head around it. And then we see at the weekend was a prime example. Sean Dyche goes to Everton, who haven't signed anyone, and they get 3 points, and we lose again. So it's disappointing. The only good thing is Southampton are still below us.
I'm sure he'll be happy that you've said he's a good bloke.
He seems like a good bloke. That's what I should say. Yeah, I guess so.
Couldn't drive him, innit? But he's a good bloke.
Ben, on a slightly happier note, what a win for you guys.
Yeah, we've given a Ford Fiesta to this dig, I suppose.
We should have had another win against Liverpool recently if the AR cameras were positioned in the same place. And I'm going to need a few more wins against Liverpool before I forget that one. But no, the bigger.
I think
wins
we're playing you about 7 times this season.
We got you again. Yeah, we have. That's been announced today. Yeah,
forward to that one.
Maybe a few more. But the big ones have been the recent wins against West Ham, Everton. Sorry, those 6 pointers, and the next two are Southampton and Bournemouth. So if you two are experts, then I think it's another 6 points, and we should be looking towards mid-table. But no, yeah, I've been really impressed. I think Lopetegui had been announced, but he hadn't managed a game when we last spoke. Yeah. And I don't think I quite appreciated the pull that he'd have for a team when we were down there. I mean, thinking about it, you've just signed Keylor Navas, you're turning down Roma Starboys, and you've signed a Juventus midfielder, so maybe I'm overestimating it. But we've signed Sarabia from PSG, Cunha from Atletico Madrid. Whether that's a Premier League thing, I don't know. But they've all said it's for the coach. We brought in a guy way above our level, and hopefully we'll slowly catch him up over the next few years. But we've still got to deal with this season.
The players, you know, if it's a club that maybe is struggling or is perennially mid-table, you know, fourth from bottom, fifth from bottom, the players care that much about the manager? They say, I desperately want to play under this guy.
The coach is the most important appointment in the club. Was at Brentford on Saturday, and Thomas Frank's absolutely critical to them. And Sarabia has gone there because of the coach. I tried to sign Sarabia, believe it or not, when it was in Valencia.
Told you, Gary, it's the Mendes cycle.
See, he said it was all about the coach, was it?
I know him quite well. He was. We tried to get him in the January. I went there in the December and we tried to get him in the January.
Did he not like the manager?
There's no pull then.
No pull. Yeah, we got Cheryshev, you know, Denis Cheryshev, who was...
Had a good World Cup, yeah.
Yeah, so... Yeah, but we tried to get Sarabia. He's a good player.
Didn't happen. I'm gutted. Maybe you wouldn't be sat here if your
football wasn't very good.
I think the point on Wolves, what you're talking about, the manager is, and it just tells us how big the Premier League is. There's only 20 jobs in there. You were talking before about experience. Wolves, who were, I think when he came in, you were bottom of the league or second bottom.
Yeah, definitely.
He's managed Spain. He's managed Real Madrid. He's won Europa Leagues with Seville. This is like a manager who's got so much experience, so much quality as well. So Unai Emery comes into Aston Villa when they were sort of close to sort of the bottom. He's managed all over the world. So these great managers who normally used to be maybe at the top end of the table in La Liga, they'll take any job in the Premier League because it's such a, you know, the facilities, the money on offer.
The money's bigger here as well for them.
But also the players they can bring in, what you're talking about, he wouldn't be able to do that if he was at Seville. It just shows the level now to be a manager in the Premier League, even managers near the bottom of the league. are some of the best managers around in Europe because of the quality of the Premier League. And that just tells you all you need to know.
That's the end of part two. Join us in part three, where we talk about the top four.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.